Are you able to put your hands on a table and fully flatten all your fingers? If not, you may have a condition in common with former President Ronald Reagan and former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. Welcome to Doc Talk, presented by Montefiore or St. Luke's Cornwall. I'm Cheryl Martin. On this episode, we're discussing Dupuytren's disease, a condition that usually impacts the ring or pinky finger, pulling it down. Here to discuss this common hand disease is Dr. Gina Del Salvio, Montefiore St. Luke's Cornwall Chief Medical Officer and Orthopedic Hand Surgeon. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you so much.
What is Dupuytren's disease?
So Dupuytren's disease, as you described, is a condition that can occur in the palms of the hand, and it's a thickening of the tissue in the palm of the hand that extends into the fingers, causing people to be unable to stretch or extend their fingers or fully straighten them out.
Do you know what causes it?
Well, we do know that this is a genetic condition and that it does run in families. What we don't know is exactly how it's inherited. And also, unfortunately, your brother might have it, your sister might not have it, and you might or might not have it. So it's a variable pattern of inherited disease.
How common is it, actually?
Actually, probably if you looked at even mild forms of this disease, it's relatively common, probably affecting up to 5% of the population. But to be severe enough for someone to actually come into the doctor's office complaining about symptoms, it's somewhat more unusual. Interestingly enough, if you live in an area where there's lots of Northern Europeans, such as the Hudson Valley with a huge Dutch population, it tends to be more common than in areas where you have family members from Southern Europe or from Africa, where the disease is much, much less common.
Is there a particular age point where you see more people with this?
Most of the time when people walk into the office, they're over the age of 50. But I always warn folks, if you are in your 50s and you have children, please do advise them that they are now at some risk. From time to time, we do actually see early disease in people in their 20s and 30s. And the sad part is that if it presents when you're in your 20s and your 30s, it tends to be more severe, more progressive, and actually have a much higher recurrence despite treatment. Same thing happens with men versus women. Much more common in men, but when a woman gets it, watch out. They tend to have more severe and more progressive disease.
Would you say that the majority of the cases, it's a mild form of it?
The majority of cases can be mild. In fact, a lot of folks will come into the office concerned that they have a mass in the palm of their hand. And when I touch their hand, what I realize is that it's just a thickening in the palm of their hand that is one of the earliest stages of Dupuytren's contracture, also known as palmar fibromatosis, which is a much more descriptive term that is a thickening or a fibrosis lesion located in the palm of one's hand.
Is pain associated with it?
It's not, and neither is numbness. When people tell me that they have pain or they have numbness, that doesn't mean they don't have palmar fibromatosis, but it also means as a hand surgeon, I need to look for something else, which is probably causing those underlying symptoms like tendonitis or arthritis or a pinched nerve even.
And so that's all part of the diagnosis process that helps you pinpoint it?
Exactly. Someone comes into the office and they say, hey, I have a problem with extending my fingers. I will query them. What other symptoms do you have? What seems to aggravate your symptoms? Does it wax? Does it wane? If you have palmar fibromatosis, it doesn't get better, worse, better, worse, better, worse. It is what it is, and it only tends to get worse. It can get worse very slowly or very rapidly, but it doesn't resolve all on its own.
And so when it gets worse, doctor, what will this disease prevent a person from doing?
Well, my patients often come in the wintertime because what they discover is that little thing in the palm of their hand that didn't bother them last winter is now progressed to the point where they're having a hard time getting their hand into their pocket because that finger won't straighten out. Or they can't slide their hand into their gloves anymore because they can't straighten the finger out enough to get it into the glove. Patients will also talk about when they go to wash their face because they can't stretch their fingers out, one finger will go up their nose, and they'll say, I can't wash my finger without picking my nose at the same time, which sounds funny, but it's really not when you try to wash your face at the end of the day.
And no exercise helps this at all.
No. This is an abnormal thickening to the tissue that lives between your skin and your tendons. It's not part of your tendons. It can be a little bit part of your skin, but is a separate layer all unto itself, which is made out of something called collagen. And in our bodies, we have lots of different types of collagen. And people who develop this disease have too much of a type of collagen which tends to be thickened and not very elastic, which is why they get these nodules and these cords, and they're unable to stretch their fingers to go all the way straight.
So what are treatment options?
Well, for most patients, we can actually observe. What I always tell my patients when they first show up is, as long as you could put your hand flat on a table, we probably shouldn't be doing anything at all. We call that a tabletop test. If you can put your hand flat on that kitchen table and really get your palm down, then you know what? You may have a nodule, but you don't have a functional deficit. When you start being unable to put your hand flat, that's when you start to run into those functional problems that we talked about. And that's probably at the point where we want to start talking about what are some options. The disease really has two major ways of presenting itself. One is as a nodule in the palm of your hand, but it can also present as a cord. Now, if it's a nodule, really it's live with it or have an operation to take it out. If it's a cord, however, we run into another option, and that is an injection of an enzyme. This is not a cortisone, but an enzyme, which I tell my patients is like Drano. It goes in there and it goes chomp, 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 and it will chomp at the cord and weaken it so that we can actually break the cord without doing an operation and therefore release the finger so it can go straight again. And again, so watching it, doing an injection if it's a certain type of disease, or ultimately surgery to go ahead and physically, mechanically remove the lesion from the palm of your hand.
Would any of these actually cure one of the disease?
Well, again, because this is a genetic disorder, we're not really changing your genetics. So the bottom line is the biggest complication from anything that we do for this disease is recurrence. In fact, that is over 50% for most lesions that we treat. That number varies a little bit depending on your age. As I said earlier, the younger you are, the more likely the disease is to recur even if we treat it. And the older you are, I would say there's got to be some good side to having a slowed metabolism. As you get older, if we treat the disease, it's much less likely to recur. It's also much more likely to recur in your little finger than it would be, let's say, in your long finger, and much more to recur if it's in your finger itself than if it's in the palm. So again, we're not curing your genetic disorder. What we're doing is we're managing the symptom for you.
When patients come in, doctor, how much of this is really about cosmetics and them really just having a problem with what their hand now looks like, especially if both fingers are one of them, and let's say it's the ring finger, you cannot flatten it?
It's a really good question. And the reason it's a really good question is because I will say to patients all the time, what can't you do because of your finger being like that? And if the answer is, oh, I just don't like how it feels when I shake hands, or I can't put on my wedding ring any longer, I will encourage them to consider not doing anything yet, because there is such a high rate of recurrence with treatment. I'll try to say to them, listen, let's wait. If and when this gets to the point where it's keeping you from doing the things that you want to do or you need to do, well, gosh, then these interventions are certainly worthwhile. But until we get to that point, do consider doing nothing.
But do you find they're more self-conscious of their hands?
Again, it really depends on what someone does for a living. I will absolutely tell you that people who shake hands for a living, perhaps they're in that type of business, they're much more cognizant of it because they're much more aware that every single time they reach out to a customer that there's this thing sitting in the palm of their hand. On the other hand, many of my patients who are manual laborers will say to me, it's not so much how it looks, but rather when they grab a tool and they push this thick cord down into the palm of their hand, it feels like there's a pebble in their shoe or a rock in their hand when they're squeezing the tool. And so even though something might not be so huge, that's what bothers them. So again, always having a dialogue with a patient and really understanding how the lesion is impacting them and their lives is really important in terms of how to direct somebody as to how their next step should be.
So is it better for a person that the earlier they notice the symptoms for them to come in to a doctor to get them checked? Does that help?
The answer is yes. Earlier is always better, just to establish a baseline and to initiate the dialogue about what to expect coming forward. I would much rather see a patient for the first time and be able to spend the visit talking about educating around the history of the disease, the progression of the disease, and options for treating the disease, than having somebody come in with a hand that's already so deformed and having to do all of that and talk about what can be a really, really big operation and long recovery.
Anything else you'd like to add on this topic?
Well, Dupuytren's contracture can also impact other parts of the body. It can impact the sole of the foot as well. And you can have a thing that feels like a rock or a pebble that sits in the soft tissues in the arch of your foot. And that can also be extremely disabling and will require special shoes or orthotic shoes to be made. The other place that this can impact folks is in the penis. And in fact, you've probably seen commercials where they float across the screen various zucchini and other vegetables in sort of odd shapes and positions, and then refer to the perhaps your private parts look like that. And indeed, Dupuytren's can cause a cord in the penis, which can cause then problems with urination. Because at the end of the day, the penis is really to allow for urine to leave the body. And if that hose is kinked, it can lead to bladder infections, which can lead to kidney infections in men, which can be very, very serious, as well as also, of course, interfering with sexual dysfunction. So again, just to be aware that it can affect other parts of the body as well.
Doctor, thank you so much for sharing your expertise on Dupuytren's disease. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
That was Dr. Gina Del Savio, Montefiore St. Luke's Cornwall, Chief Medical Officer and orthopedic hand surgeon. Thanks for listening to Doc Talk, presented by Montefiore St. Luke's Cornwall. For more information about our orthopedic services, please visit montefioreslc.org. That's montefioreslc.org. And please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other Montefiore St. Luke's Cornwall podcasts. Thanks in advance.